Thank you to Laura Jane and the group for leading us in praise. It's been great to have you lead us. And also to us at the Sound Desk, thanks for your work there. It's been great to work with you over the last number of years. If you have your Bibles, please keep them open in front of you at John chapter 3 as we look at this familiar passage, but one which will bring much challenge, I'm sure, today. As I come to the end of my time as assistant minister here, it is the closing of one chapter and the beginning of a new one in my life. And although it's not easy to leave after being here for a number of years, it is exciting to go where God has called us to go and to take those opportunities to serve Him in a new place. But quite often, we hold on to the last words in which someone says. One of my favorite preachers and authors is R.C. Sproul. And in the last words of his last sermon that he ever preached before going to glory a few years ago, this is what he said. Listen to these words. I pray with all my heart that God will awaken each one of us today to the sweetness, the loveliness, and the glory of the gospel declared by Christ Jesus. My last words will not be as eloquent as R.C. Sproul's, but it is my prayer that as the gospel is made known, that people would be awakened today. And maybe for you, this will be the beginning of a new chapter in your life as you experience that new and eternal life in Christ. I'm very thankful to have been here for almost 4 years. And over that time, it has been such an encouragement to get to know the people here. It's been such an encouragement to see people who are truly believing in Jesus, who are living out their lives for Him out of a love for and an affection for Him. Yet sadly, as I look around at many and those who have come to know in this congregation, there are those who are lovely, kind, caring people. But although they are committed to the church, sadly, they're not committed to Christ. In words that John Walker often uses, your goodness will only keep you out of jail, but it won't get you to heaven. This comes out very clearly as Jesus encounters this religious man, this man of good works called Nicodemus. And the first thing I want to pick up from this passage is that new birth is necessary to see God's kingdom. I remember hearing a story of a man who was once at a conference, and as he looked at the sign-in sheet with all the names on it, all these people had different letters after the name. But he hadn't any of any qualifications. He hadn't been to university. But he knew that he had one thing that was more important than anything else in his life. He knew that he had a BA after his name because he could say that he was born again. This man Nicodemus, who came to Jesus at night, had plenty of titles and letters after his name. We're told he was a Pharisee. We're told he was a ruler of the Jews. In verse 10, Jesus called him a teacher of Israel. He was someone who was respected by many. And he also was very respectful towards Jesus as he addressed him as rabbi here. Nicodemus was impressed by Jesus and his teaching and the signs that he had performed. He recognized that this man was from God in some way. He maybe came here representing the Pharisees at this point. We say here, read here, that we know that you're a teacher, is what he said. But Jesus' ministry caused so much division amongst the religious leaders. And so Nicodemus came at night because it seems like he was coming secretly, not wanting to cause any disturbance, to keep this all in the down low, so to speak. But Jesus was not going to be drawn into whatever political agenda he had. He was not going to be dragged into that. And instead, he didn't pander to his nice gestures or what he wanted him to focus on. No, the conversation went the way that Jesus wanted to take it. As a true teacher, he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus is crystal clear here that no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. No one can be with God in heaven unless there is a new beginning in their life. There must be a recreation. I'm sure that was a great shock for this man Nicodemus, this upright citizen, this outstanding member of the community. He hadn't mentioned God's kingdom. That wasn't what he came to Jesus to talk about, but yet Jesus challenged him in his thinking as he brought this topic up. And maybe you've come today, you're not thinking much about God's kingdom. You've maybe come just because this was my last service here as an assistant minister and you were shown some respect. But it's vital that you consider the kingdom of God here and how you gain entry into it. See, Nicodemus thought that all sorts of rituals and good living would mean that he was certain to be in heaven one day. He thought that his natural birth into a Jewish family earned him the right to be there, that being brought up with the teaching of Scripture and knowing it inside out was enough. But Jesus was telling him that's not enough. You must be born again, he said. But look at how Nicodemus replies in verse 4. Remember, this is an intelligent man, a man of great learning. But his response here shows a lack of understanding. He has taken Jesus literally in what he has said here. And it's quite laughable to suggest that someone, a grown person, can get into their mother's womb again and be born again. Imagine coming out with a statement like that. But actually, it's not a laughing matter. Because this shows how blinded Nicodemus is to his sin. He's only thinking about the physical situation and not the spiritual. He isn't aware of his sin problem, which denies him access into God's kingdom. Maybe today you're more similar to Nicodemus than you would like to admit. You're nicely dressed at church today. Your family have been Presbyterians for generations. You maybe are a decent person. You have a good reputation. You can recite the catechism, maybe a number of verses from Scripture. But as you hear of this talk of being born again, you aren't impressed by this. You're thinking, what is he going on about up there? You don't understand it, or you don't want to understand it, because you don't want to acknowledge your sin. You don't want to admit that you need to be made new. You see, you try to keep control of your life. You want to take it your direction, the way you want to go. By continuing this way, continuing your way will not end well. You will not see the kingdom of God. But look, this is not me saying this today. This is not me just coming up here and wanting to give you this message. This is God's word. This is Jesus speaking himself. Unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. See, this new beginning is necessary for us all, for every one of us. We need to have that BA after our names. But as Jesus continues to speak with Nicodemus, we secondly see that new birth is generated by the work of the Holy Spirit. When Nicodemus comes out with this ridiculous statement about getting back into the woman, verse 4, you think that Jesus would just leave it there for the night. You say, look, that's enough, Nicodemus. That's a lot of nonsense. Just away you go. We'll talk to you another time. You might think he would even try and use a different illustration to get the point across. But no, Jesus persists with this theme of new birth. Because it is something that every one of us can identify with. We all have gone through the birth process to come into this world. We all had to be born from our mother. But how many of you decided when you would be born? How many of you could choose your birth date? None of us. We can't. You see, this physical birth process is such an important picture and has really given us a picture of what Jesus wants to bring across here about how salvation comes about in our lives. And Jesus ties this together in verses 5 and 6. He says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That phrase, born of water and the Spirit, is not a phrase maybe we would understand or maybe know where it's from. But a scholar like Nicodemus would have known the Scriptures inside out, and when he heard those words together, he would have automatically thought of Ezekiel and chapter 36, words that I referred to at the start of the service. Listen to what God says there. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. What an incredible picture that is of the spiritual new birth that Jesus is talking about here. It will involve a cleansing from sin. It will involve the giving of a new heart. Because you see, in our sin, we are impure. Our hearts are hard because of sin. And that's the default position of every one of us who have come into this world. And if we stay in that state, we will never see, we will never enter the kingdom of God. Because the Bible is very clear that all of us have sinned. Our hearts are so hardened by sin that even the greatest kangaroo hammer or a rock breaker or whatever would demolish stone in the world today can't even break down our hearts. They are so hardened because of sin. Ephesians 2 even says that we are dead in our sins. And dead people can't resurrect themselves. They can't bring about life themselves. See, we are powerless to bring about that spiritual birth ourselves, just like you have no control over of when you physically were born into this world. And so being born again is not a result of something that we do. It's not because we have said a particular prayer or because we walked down an aisle at some mission or because we were baptized or because we belong to a certain denomination. Jesus is very clear here that this new birth is brought about not by something that we can do. We must be born by the Spirit. It is only by a work of God in our lives. The dead must have that intervention from God to bring about life. He is the author of life. He is the only one who can do that. There needs to be that regenerating work of the Holy Spirit to bring about that newness, that new creation, which is so wonderful. I know there are many in this church who meet week by week to pray. They pray that God's Spirit would move in this place and this surrounding area, that hard hearts would be broken down, that new life would be brought about, that people would come to know Christ as Savior and Lord. But you know, many people have been praying for years in this congregation, maybe for family members, maybe for loved ones, but yet still see no change. For us, there is a mystery of how or when or even who the Spirit will regenerate. Jesus says in verse 8, it's like the wind blowing. When you hear its sound, you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And maybe you are a Christian who's been praying for a long time and you really struggle with this. You question why only some people will receive this new birth and not others. You question why it's taken so long or why it's not coming. We must remember that none of us are worthy to be saved and given this new life. All of us have rebelled against our Creator, and it is only because of His infinite love and grace and mercy that He would even choose to save any of us and allow us into His kingdom. You see, God is sovereign over all things. He is sovereign over salvation. And He will bring about His good purposes in His timing. Maybe now, even in this moment, as God's word is being explained, God's Spirit is bringing about that new birth in someone's life here today. Maybe even in this very moment, there is rejoicing in heaven because there has been regeneration into new life. I wonder, is that happening maybe even in you right now? Finally, then, we see new birth is received through faith in Jesus Christ. You all know that if you've got a health issue, you go and see a doctor. They should have the knowledge. They should have the understanding to be able to diagnose your problem. They should be able to give you a prescription or refer you on. GPs are good at referring you on to other people. But they know the people who they can send you to. Well, at the time of Nicodemus, if somebody wanted to know something about the Scriptures, if they wanted to know about their spiritual well-being, they were to come and see someone like him. But as Jesus engaged with this man, as he taught with this teacher of Israel about the kingdom of God, he showed that he didn't actually understand what was going on. He had missed out here. He was still asking in verse 9, how can these things be? You can imagine just scratching his head. He was so confused. And he really should have known better because he had the witness of the Old Testament Scriptures. He had the testimony of Abraham, Moses, David. Even John the Baptist had come in those days pointing to Jesus as the Messiah, the one who would bring in the kingdom of God. But yet Nicodemus still didn't understand. He still didn't believe what Jesus was saying. And so Jesus gives him another illustration from the Old Testament. Look at verse 14. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That refers back to Numbers 21. Moses had been leading the people of Israel through the wilderness towards the promised land. But the people, like many of us do, we grumble a lot of the time. But those people of Israel, they grumbled a lot. They complained about what God had been doing. And so they came under a plague of poisonous snakes. I'm sure some of you, or maybe most of you, have seen I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And if you see those trials where people are put into big cages with snakes all around them, maybe it's something that you'd be terrified of going into. But those people often get out of that at the end without any harm. But you see, this was no game in the days of Moses and those people, because many of the people of Israel actually died as a result of those bites from those snakes. And in that moment, they began to call out to God. They cried out to him to save them. And the Lord had mercy on them, and he provided a way of rescue. He provided a way for them to be healed from it. Moses was told to make a bronze serpent, and he was to put it up on a pole and to raise it up so that if anyone was bitten by this snake, if they looked at this bronze serpent, we're told that they would have been healed. They didn't die. They were given continued life. Maybe that seems a bit of a strange story to you. Why did God include this in the Bible? We see this was pointing forward to how God would ultimately save his people from death and restore life. Because out of God's great love for the world, he sent his only Son into the world. He gave him up so that he would bring about a remedy for sin and bring new life. For anyone to enter into the kingdom of God, Jesus, the Son of Man, had to be raised up, not on a pole, but on a cross, where he became the substitute for our sin, where he took on the sting and the venom and the poison of sin and all the evil in the world. He took it on himself, and he dealt with it there at the cross. And so at the cross, death has lost its sting. No longer has victory, because at the cross Jesus defeated sin and death and the power of the evil one. Look at what verse 15 then says. The Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. That's also expanded into verse 16. The four links these verses together. And we probably all know this off by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. See, when Moses raised up that snake in the wilderness, there were still those who refused to look at it and be healed. Those who refused did die at that time. The remedy, the rescue was right before them. They could see it with their own eyes. But yet they refused to look. They refused to turn. And today you're again hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that through his death on the cross there's forgiveness of sin, that in him there's eternal life. It's been held up before you today like it has been done in many services here over the years. But as the gospel is held up, many of you still refuse to look to Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so you will face the eternal consequences for that, and you will perish. But the good news is, and there is great news here, because it doesn't end there. It says that those who truly believe in Jesus will not perish, but they will have and receive everlasting life. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the good news that has been proclaimed to you for so many years here. It's the good news that I've sought to proclaim as I've been assistant minister in this church. But have you received it? Have you looked to Christ? If you have, you have come to see the necessity of being born again, been brought into the kingdom of God. That's the only way. because you have experienced that work of the Holy Spirit in your life. You have been regenerated. You've been given a new heart. And so as you've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have responded. You have believed. You have received by faith. And you have turned away from your sin. That's the new life that's on offer for you today. And if the Spirit is working in your life, if that prompting is there, receive Him now. Don't put it off. Believe in Him as Savior and Lord. Look, for me, this time is coming to an end in this congregation. This is the end of this chapter for me, and I'm entering into a new, exciting chapter ahead. Maybe today can be the end of a chapter in your life, an old life, a life that was going to perish. Maybe today it will be a new chapter of eternal life with Christ Jesus. Like, I pray that you will remember these last words that I leave with you today. Not words of R.C. Sproul, not words of my own, but the words of Jesus. You must be born again. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. Let's pray.